This is Alive with Joseph.
I want to finish the message that I started last week. Grace has appeared. But tonight I want to look at what happens when grace appears in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, tell your neighbor, we want to look at what happens when grace appears. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in the scriptures, we look and we see grace appearing to a young girl called Esther. Amen. We see a young girl by the name of Esther, and the grace of God appears to her. And I want us to look at what happens to her life when grace appears to her. Hallelujah. We've already established that grace is a person. We have established that grace is a savior. That grace is Jesus Christ himself. Esther was this young girl that was a slave. She had no parents. She had no father. She had no mother. Actually, in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and he brought up Hadass, that it's Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai was her father and mother, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. I want us to understand that, you know, the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we are able to see the plan of God and the purpose of God for the New Testament. Hallelujah. And I want to establish tonight that in this book specifically, Mordecai appeared, or rather, grace appeared in the form of Mordecai. Grace appeared to Esther in the form of Mordecai. Mordecai is a typology of Jesus. The Bible says, if the Bible in your hand is yours, it says he took for his own daughter. He took Esther as his own. He adopted her. And if you read the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 17, from verse 15 rather, the Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It says, the spirit beareth witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So the same way that Esther was adopted to be his child, we too have been adopted. Say, I am adopted. Understand that through Adam's disobedience, sin had made us fatherless. Sin had disconnected us from the Father. Sin had made us orphans. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But thank God for his mercy that he did not leave us in that state. He did not leave us in the state of sin and helplessness. He adopted us. He made us his own. And you and I can boldly say that I have a father. Say, I have a father. Say, I have a father. So Mordecai adopted her and he began to groom her. He began to groom her the same way that when we accept Jesus, he begins to do a work in us. He begins to do a work in our inside, preparing us to fulfill destiny, preparing us to fulfill purpose. And if you read the book of Esther, you see that one of the days, especially right from the beginning of the book, we see that a day came where Vashti, who was the queen of the day, rebelled against the king. She rebelled openly against the king. The same way that we see in the beginning of the Bible, where we see Adam rebelling against the king. The Bible says rebellion is a dangerous thing. Rebellion is a sin of disobedience. And when she rebelled, she lost the kingdom. The same way that when Adam rebelled, he lost the kingdom. Why? Because he disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. We can reason and say, you know, maybe Vashti was right to say, I don't want to come. That is not my argument today. The key is that there was an instruction from the king, and her responsibility was to obey the instruction of the king. The same way that we can argue and say, why would God say, don't eat the fruit? Because fruits are nutritious. There is nothing wrong with the fruit. It was not about whether he eats or not. It was the instruction that the Lord has given. given. It was the issue of obedience. Say, we are children of obedience. Say, we are children of obedience. When we step into the realm of disobedience, we lose out on the benefits of the kingdom. When we step into the realm of disobedience, we lose our relevance, because our relevance as children of God is locked up in our obedience. Actually, Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19 to 21, I want us to read the NLT translation. It says, when you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sin like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we walk in disobedience, we miss out on the benefits of the kingdom. Actually, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5 puts it like this. It says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Understand that disobedience will cause us to miss out on our Eden. Hallelujah. It will cause us to miss out on the plan of God for our lives. God has a plan for your life. You might have a plan for your life, but I'm here to submit to you that the better plan for your life is the plan that God has for you. Say, the better plan is the one that God has for me. Listen, if you live in disobedience to God, you lose relevance. You don't want to live life without relevance. You don't want to live life without fulfilling purpose. You know, when you see a chicken farmer, I know Mama Nyasha is one of them, and you will see that, you know, a chicken farmer will take care of the chicken. They will feed those chicken. They will go out of their way to make sure that, you know, they are fresh. They will inject them, give them the best of food and everything. And you think they are doing it because they love the chicken. No. They are not doing it because they love the chicken. They are doing it because they want to slaughter it. When we walk in disobedience, when the enemy looks like he's giving us what we think we need, it is not because he loves us. It is because he's preparing you for slaughter. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. You will not be deceived in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see that Vashti, like Adam, was kicked out of the garden that God had created for his pleasure. I don't know if you heard what I said. Adam was kicked out of the garden that God had created for his pleasure. Understand that you and I are created for God's pleasure. We are not created for our own pleasure. We are created for God's pleasure. And that same God created a garden for our pleasure. Hallelujah. But if we miss the order of God, if we seek the pleasure of the garden instead of being pleasurable to him that created us for his pleasure, we will miss our garden. Say, I am created for the Lord's pleasure. Say, I am created for the Lord's pleasure. We see that in the beginning, Adam, you know, God had clothed him with honor and glory. He had clothed him with dignity. But when he walked in disobedience, he woke up one day and discovered that he was now just wearing leaves. And that is what happens when we step out of the will of God for our lives. That is what happens when we step out of the counsel of God for our lives. We find that we are clothed in leaves. We are clothed in fear. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Every garment that the Father did not sew for you, you will not wear it in the name of Jesus. Every garment of poverty that the enemy has clothed for you, has designed for you, you will not wear it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So we've looked at the first Adam and what happened with him. But then grace shows up in the form of the second Adam. The Bible says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we see grace appearing once again in the form of Jesus Christ. Say, grace appeared. Say, grace appeared. Hallelujah. And when the second Adam comes, that same old serpent appears once again. He appears to want to tempt him. He begins to ask him to do certain things, because the trick of the enemy never changes. We, you and I, need to be smarter than him. We need to know how he works. And when he appears, he comes to want to cause Jesus to disobey God. The same way that he tricked the first Adam to disobey God. But praise be to God. The Bible says this Adam said, the second Adam says, it is written. Hallelujah. He said, it is written. Understand that the only way to escape the temptation of the enemy is to know what is written. Say, I know what is written. Say, I know what is written. Hallelujah. Not only did he, you know, conquer the temptation of the enemy, but he went to the grave on our behalf. He hanged on the cross on our behalf. Not only did he hang on the cross, the Bible says he died and he was buried. It was very important that Jesus died. It is very important that you acknowledge that Jesus died. Understanding that death, we fear death, but the truth is death is just a pathway either to hell or to heaven. So the only way that Jesus could go to hell to disarm the enemy and to open the doors of prison in hell was to die, to go to hell, and he snatched the keys. And the Bible tells us that he opened the gates for those who died believing, and they came back to life. The Bible says he set captivity free, and he didn't stay there, but the Bible says on the third day he resurrected. Hallelujah. And he appeared before his father. He presented the blood and he took the crown of glory and he placed it back on mankind once again. He restored our dominion. He restored our honor. He restored our dignity. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is that has robbed you of honor. I don't know what it is that has robbed you of glory. But I've come with the word of God tonight. I declare a restoration of your honor in the name of Jesus. I declare a restoration of your dignity in the name of Jesus. A restoration of your glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We reign because of his obedience. Hallelujah. Say, I reign because of his obedience. Hallelujah. The Bible says he appeared unto man and he gave gifts unto man. When grace appears, it gives gifts unto man. But it doesn't matter how empty your life feels. It doesn't matter how void your life feels. But when grace appears, he gives gifts unto man. Say, he gives gifts unto man. Hallelujah. And when he appeared, he said, I've crowned you. Take your position. Take your position. The same way that he's speaking to you tonight, he says, take your position. Take your position. Take your position. His death was not in vain. It was for you to take your position. What is that position? The position is in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation. That is your position. He says, you are a royal priesthood. That is your position. A holy nation. That is your position. A peculiar people. That should show forth the praises of him that has called you and out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are called forth to show the glory of God. You are called to show the glory of God. Men must look at you and see that this God is real. They must look at your family and see that this God is not a fluke. Say he's real. Say he's real. Say he's real. Hallelujah. I always say Jesus is my reality. I don't know what your reality is, but I know that mine, Jesus, is my reality. So it was grace that came and restored our honor. Glory be to Jesus. Now, just to try and tie it up with the story of Esther, as I said. So Mordecai was the typology of Jesus, as I said. He took an orphan girl. He took a girl that was a slave. He took a girl that had no mother, no father, and he restored her. He washed her. He cleansed her, and he gave her a home. He took a helpless girl like Jesus took a helpless sinner and said, "You are not helpless anymore." Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? He took her the same way that he took you, and he said, "You are not helpless." Therefore, never allow any situation to tell you you are helpless. You are not helpless. No matter where you might be right now, you are not helpless. Say, "I am not helpless." Say, "I am not helpless." Say, "I am not helpless." And Mordecai began the process of preparing her. He started installing in her the qualities and the capacities of a king, of a queen. He was doing a work in her inside. Actually, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." That is what Jesus is working in you every day. He's working so that you are transformed, so that you can become more and more like him every day. The greatest work of salvation, it is your transformation. Say, "The greatest work of redemption is my transformation." He began to put inside of her qualities of a queen, qualities of a king. The same way that every day he's putting in you qualities of a king. He's putting in you qualities of a king. And at the right time, he said to Esther, he said, "Girl, I have been preparing you all along. They said the king is looking for a queen. I know that I have put in enough in the inside of you for you to qualify to be his queen." Someone said favor is when preparation meets opportunity. The Bible says time and chance happens to us all. Do you hear what I'm saying? Time and chance happens to us all. It might feel like it is not your time yet. Don't worry, your time is coming. It might feel like it's not your chance now. Don't worry, your chance is coming. Your responsibility is to just keep preparing. Your responsibility is to keep allowing him work on you. Because when time and chance appears, when your time and chance appears, you must be ready. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. Say, he makes all things beautiful in his time. And Mordecai was confident. He knew what he had put in her. He said, "Go and win your world. Go and be a queen." But Mordecai gave her a specific instruction. He said, "When you get there, do not disclose your identity." Oh, Jesus. The same way Jesus wants to believe that you are in the world, but you're not of the world. It is not for you to come and tell everybody, "I am a Christian." He said, all he's looking for is you leave it until people know that there is something different about this one. You walk it until the naysayers can say, "But surely there is something different about this one." So this girl was so well trained. The uncle had done a proper job in her, to the point that when she entered the palace, the Bible says she stood out. Haggai, who was the one sent out to take care of the girls that had to be chosen to be part of those that will model before the king, he realized that there is something different about this girl. Say, she was well trained. Say, she was well trained. He saw the difference between this girl and other girls. He saw that her behavior was different. He saw that her character was different. Hallelujah. I want to believe that some of the girls that came out there were daughters of kings. It only makes sense to me that when you're looking for a child, for a wife, for a king, you will go and bring other princesses who have been groomed to come and marry a king. Hallelujah. Who have seen Coming to America? If you have seen Coming to America, you know what I'm talking about. They prepare them and cause them to appear. This girl was not prepared from any palace, but she was prepared by the grace of God. When the other girls came, they were beautiful, but they were arrogant. When the other girls came, they had no character. They were just walking anyhow. They had a sense of entitlement. They were like, do you know who my father is? Do you know where I come from? They were like, you can't talk to me like that. But this girl was different. There was a humility with her. There was a grace she carries. There was something different with her speech. There was something different with the way she carried herself. There was a depth in her. Say she had a depth. She had a depth. Hallelujah. The Bible took time to tell us in verse 7 of chapter 2 that she was a beautiful girl. But even though she was beautiful, she still was well-mannered. She had character. Tell your neighbor character. Say character. Say in this kingdom, your character matters. Glory be to Jesus. If you read Esther chapter 2, verse 9, we see grace appearing in the form of favor. It says, now the young woman pleased him. There he's talking about Haggai. And she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. Then seven choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace. And he moved her and her maidservants to the best palace in the house of the women. Hey, you're not hearing me. The Bible says Haggai saw something different about this girl to the point that he prepared her differently. Not only did he prepare her differently, the Bible says he gave her rooms that were different from every other person. I declare over you that the favor of God shall appear in your life tonight in the name of Jesus. The favor of God shall appear tonight in the name of Jesus. And Haggai now takes over from where Mordecai is left off. He begins to teach her. Because in the kingdom of God, you never stop learning. One of the worst things that can happen to you in the kingdom is for you to believe that you have arrived. It is for you to believe that you know it all. So we see Haggai, who represents the Holy Ghost, taking over as she comes in. He began to teach her what the king likes. He began to teach her what the king does not like. Oh, Jesus. I don't know if all you know about God is what you want and what you like. My question is, do you know what the king likes? Do you know what the king does not like? Because I feel that there is a generation that only knows what they want. That is why when we appear before God, all we say is, give me, give me, give me. Oh, but we must have a generation that must rise up and say, Father, what do you like? What is it that you don't like? A generation that will sit with scriptures and begin to see scriptures. What is it that displeases the Father? He taught her how to dress like a princess. He taught her how to perfume herself like a queen. Oh my God, it's not just perfume we are talking about. We are talking about an aura. The Bible says actually he put her in scent for over 6 months. She dwelt in that perfume for over 6 months so that it will swallow her natural scent. So that it will swallow any other scent that she might have come with. Oh child of God, you must learn to sit in the presence of God until he quenched every other odor that you have come with. Hallelujah. Until he gives you a new odor. Hallelujah. Until he gives you a new scent, that when you walk out, you begin to give a new odor or a new scent to your world. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So Haggai is the prototype of the Holy Spirit. He knows the heart of the king. He knows the heart of the Father. Actually, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By spending so much time with Haggai, she began to know the heart of the Father. She began to know the mind of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This year is that year that you must spend time with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Put your ear in his heart. Glory be to Jesus. Until you know his mind. Glory to God. Say, I know the mind of the Father. Say, I know the mind of the Father. He taught her the protocol to the king's heart. Hallelujah. There are many of us who don't even know the protocol of the king's heart. We think that praise and worship is just time that we are waiting for the word, because we have no revelation. Listen, praise and worship is not a time to wait for the word. It is not a time to wait for other people that are late to come. No, praise and worship is the protocol to the heart of the king. He began to tell her that if you want to get the attention of the king, you must enter with thanksgiving. And you must enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. I can imagine this girl. I can imagine other girls kept walking in front of the king. Oh, the king was looking and just checking. And I can imagine others speaking eloquent English, thinking that it will get the attention of the king. Oh, I can imagine what they were wearing, hoping that that is what will get the attention of the king. Ah, but this girl came. Maybe she didn't even have makeup like I do. She began to sing and say, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe if she was a petty Jew, she would have said, Ria ulebuha. Ria ulebuha. Ria ulebuha. Modimo waruna. Hallelujah. No matter where the eyes of the king were, when she started singing, he turned and began to look. Hallelujah. Hey, as she got closer, she began to sing. Oh, Ancient of Days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Hey, Ancient of Days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. The king stood up and said, who is that? Who is that girl? Who is that girl? Hallelujah. Because she had the attention of the king. Hallelujah. Listen, I see it during the 5 a.m. prayers. There are those that are waiting only for the pastor to come in and say, take the microphone. They don't understand that the first minutes where we are playing praise and worship, we are not passing time. It is a protocol to the heart of the king. Hallelujah. Say, it is a protocol to the heart of the king. Hallelujah. Other girls came and they were looking at the throne. But this girl's attention was not on the throne. Even though she knew that the contest, the competition was to be a queen, she didn't come with the attitude of, how can I be a queen? Oh, she came with her attitude. Her focus was on the one on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Other girls were looking at what they could get from him. But this girl was like, I'm here for you. When we look at the first queen, we look at Vashti. She was too self-observant. She was, everything about Vashti was about herself. Vashti was too selfish. That is why she could not fit into the agenda of God. Hallelujah. Her service to the king was about her. It was about what she gets from this throne. It was about what she gets from this union. Oh, but a different queen came in. Who said, it's not about me, it's about the one who sits on the throne. Glory be to Jesus. May you get to the place where you are able to lift high, to lift his name high, more than your needs, more than what you're going through. Where things are falling apart around you, but you're still lifted up your hands, your eyes and your hands and say, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, it's all about him. Say, it's all about him. She was crowned a queen. It was her relationship with Mordecai that prepared her for the crowning. It was her relationship with Jesus that prepared her for the crown. If you have a problem with Jesus, I am telling you, this kind of crown will never sit on you. You can crown yourself, but not this kind of crown. Your certificate can crown you, but not this kind of crown. Because crowns are in levels. There are crowns that men can put on you, but it is not compared to the crown that the King of Kings put on man. If there is any crown you must cry for, it is the crown that he alone can put. But you know, something sad happens. After she was crowned and she was put on the throne, she began to enjoy aircon. You know, when you've come from a house where there was no aircon, all of a sudden they put you on a throne. Now there is aircon. Now you are eating caviar. You know, you're even rolling your tongue. Now you're eating sushi. Before you were just seeing it on social network. Now you're eating it yourself. She became relaxed. She forgot why she was on the throne. Oh, she thought it's about her. She was almost falling into the same trap that the first queen fell into. She thought the throne was about her. The same way that when God blesses us with jobs, we think it's about us. He blesses you with that contract, you think it's about you. He blesses you with that business, you think it's about you. He blesses you with a marriage, you think about it's about you. To the point when God is calling for you, you're like, but God, you know, I just got married. He blesses you with a child, you think it's about you. You're like, but God, you understand my child. But God, you see the things that are happening in my business. And God appeared the same way that grace appeared the first time. Grace appeared again the second time in the form of Mordecai. And Mordecai said to her, girl, wake up. Wake up. You're not on the throne for yourself. You are on the throne for a purpose. The same way that the voice of Christ is speaking through me tonight. I believe he's saying to someone, girl, wake up. Papa, wake up. It's not about you. It's not about you. You have missed the purpose for your crown. He saw that this girl was about to lose her relevance. She was about to lose the kingdom. The same way that he's looking at someone, he's saying, you've forgotten why I saved you. You've forgotten the purpose of your salvation. You have forgotten the purpose why I filled you with the Holy Ghost. He said, get up. Tell your neighbor, get up. Tell your neighbor, get up. Shake them well and say, get up. Hallelujah. Get up, because something is about to happen to your lineage and your generation. Hallelujah. There is a haman that is planning evil against you. He was saying, get up. Don't be fooled by your title. Because sometimes we become fooled by our titles. We are title holders who cannot tell what the enemy is doing in a season. But that devil is a bastard. It will not be your story in the name of Jesus. Understand that every Esther has a Haman that wants to hang her. Don't be naive in the journey of life. There is a devil that fears your destiny. There is a devil that fears that if you wake up to the call of God in your life, if you wake up to the investment of heaven in your life, he will lose. Esther was sipping tea in the palace while the enemy was digging a grave for Mordecai. The same way that the enemy was preparing a cross for Jesus. But thank God, Jesus was not sleeping. Jesus was not somewhere sipping tea. He knew that there was someone preparing a cross for him. That is why he prepared his disciples. Say, wake up. Say, wake up. So Esther, after a lot of debate, she eventually agreed to the assignment. She said, I will go. But when it was time for her to go, she said, you know what? I will take 3 days to seek the face of God. I will take 3 days to seek the face of grace. Why did she do that? She understood that Haman was not a human being. Haman was a spirit. It takes a spirit to want to execute an entire generation, an entire nation. No human, normal human being will say, I will kill everybody in this nation. She understood that if I'm going to confront this, I must take 3 days, no water, no food, and seek the face of the Father. She knew that I cannot go and see the king as a woman. Neither can I go and see him as his wife. Because this office requires a different thing. This is not a wifely office. This is the office of the spirits. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. That is why by the time she came in, she did not come in as a woman. She came in as a spirit. Hallelujah. And not just as a spirit, but as a spirit who carried the 7 spirits of God. She had the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. How do I know? The Bible says on the first day when she arrived, you know, she got there And she had the spirit of wisdom tell her, no. Don't say anything today. Enjoy fellowship. Because when you don't have wisdom, you will say what you're not supposed to say, even though it is right. Hallelujah. She got there. She held herself. She carried her emotions. Imagine eating with somebody that you know is after your life and you're not reacting. She held herself as if everything was okay. She partook of the dinner that day. You know, the king said to her, "Is there anything you want me to do for you?" She said, "My king, I'm not looking for anything from you. I'm just enjoying your presence. I just have one request. Can we please meet again tomorrow? But you know, all this time, the servants have been cooking for you. I have never cooked for you." This was a queen that was well trained. Ha! The king had never heard of such a thing, that there is a queen who can cook. She said, "Yes, I will go into the kitchen and I will cook for you." She went and she prepared a meal. And she said, "But this time, I want Haman to come back again." She brought him in and they sat. You know, the king ate. The king and Haman, they were eating. They were rejoicing. The Bible says the king got so excited. He said, no. This your food is... There's something about this food. He asked the same question. "What do you want me to do? I am willing to give you up to half of the kingdom." She said, "No." She had the spirit of counsel saying, "Don't say anything. Get another date." She said to him, "No, Machak, I just enjoy your presence." You know why that mattered? Because the first queen did not enjoy his presence. Now a king had found a queen that enjoys his presence. He was like, "What kind of woman is this?" He said, "Good, tomorrow let's do it again." She prepared the table once again. And now this time, the Holy Spirit said, "This is the right time." After they've all eaten, she said to the king, "The man that we are dining with is up to destroy all of us." At that point, the Holy Spirit told her, "Now you can reveal your identity." Because the timing was right. Because God had already worked on the king. And the Bible says Haman now tried to want to silence the queen. And the way that he grabbed her, when the king turned, he saw. And he thought, "Now you want to rape my wife in my presence? What kind of disrespect is this?" And the Bible says he said, "Let him be hanged on the gallows." The same way that Jesus, the enemy had prepared the cross for him. But the Bible says, if only had known. And that is how she got her place in destiny. Hallelujah. She was crowned for a time such as this. Hallelujah. Grace kept appearing. Appeared when her parents died. Appeared to prepare her. Appeared in the palace. Appeared when she forgot who she was. And appeared to crown her queen. And appeared for her to fulfill her purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That same grace has appeared to you. Hallelujah. Grace has appeared to crown you. Grace to wake you up. Grace to empower you to fulfill destiny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet as we close the service tonight.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.